Lord God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, my holy and righteous God, I want to thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be a part of your ministry to the lost and perishing. Lord, I pray that as I bring forth these words today, that you would anoint me with your blessing, Lord, and also the hearer of the word, Lord. And when all is said and done, Lord, that those who hear will be glad that they tuned in, and that you will be pleased, Lord. Thank you now. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. Amen. I've titled my message today, Words Are Not Enough. Words are not enough. If I came to you to say I was sorry for something I had said or done or didn't say or didn't do, and said to you, please forgive me, would you? Or would you say, get lost, Buster. I don't need or want you in my life. Oh, what about your boss at work? He drops by one day and tells you, your services are no longer required. Case closed. Or your girlfriend or boyfriend calls it quits. Sounds like the end of the line, don't it? Just ain't nowhere to turn anymore. What if Jesus came to you and said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. No wise cast out. What if? What's the difference? Well, the difference is there's only one Jesus, who is the Christ. There's only one Savior. One who cannot deny himself. Now get that. Cannot deny himself. If you could lose your salvation, that would mean one of two things. Either Jesus lied when he said to you who believed in Jesus Christ that you have repented and believed, Or you didn't belong to him in the first place. And you weren't telling the truth. Stay tuned. You know, I talk to my Heavenly Father, and I talk to him every day, and I'm so glad that he saved my soul. He taught me how to believe in the gospel and understand what he's saying to me and do the things that are pleasing unto him. Oh, I know as long as I'm in this old flesh, I'll sin, I'll trip up, I'll make mistakes, but I know that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Please hold fast, people. Lord Jesus, please, according to your perfect promise, please, Lord. If I came to you and said I was sorry because I hurt you, I was sorry I denied you, I called you names or so many other ways I could have caused you to lament. If I said I was sorry, would that be sufficient to gain your forgiveness? And I promise to never do these things again. If I repented of all I had done, would I be exonerated and filled with your mercy? Or would I be totally shut out and rejected? Tell me, which would be? Would it be rather repent or lament? forgiveness or rejection. Wouldn't most people say, well, I'll have to think about it. I'll have to think about it. I ask you, what would Jesus do? You, listener, wouldn't he forgive the vilest sinners and tell them to go and sin no more? Isn't that what the Word says? Yes, Jesus would. Jesus did. In the book of John, chapter 8, Jesus said to the woman taken in adultery, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" Verse 11, the woman said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, oh, I love this, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Go and sin no more. Isn't that what Jesus is saying to all of us even today? Go and sin no more. Isn't that what Jesus is telling us now? Even though we continue on in sin. Oh, the Bible tells us that we will sin. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. That's why he went to the cross. But not only for our sins of today and yesterday, but our sins of tomorrow. For as long as we're in this old flesh or young flesh or whatever, we're going to trip up from time to time. Thing is to keep short accounts with God. Be sorry. Repent. Show him. Tell me, what's the difference between a saved sinner and a lost sinner? That might sound like a funny question, but I'm asking it anyhow. You see, those of the lost sinner are not under the blood, but the repentant sinner, who is constantly harassed by the weakness of the flesh, is under the blood. Under the blood. And therefore, he cannot come under condemnation. Do you get that? If you're under the blood, you cannot come under condemnation. Did you know that? But the thing is to come under the blood. And don't say, well, I'm going to just repeat what the preacher told me or Joe Blow down the road told me. That's all I have to do, and I can just go on my life, and God forgives me. I'm under the blood. No, you got to repent and believe. That means you have to turn from your wicked ways. You have to show God that you actually do mean what you're saying. Don't treat God like he's just something passing by. He hears every word, sees everything you do. He knows your heart even better than you do. Therefore, because you are under the blood, you cannot come under condemnation. You cannot lose your salvation. If anybody tries to tell you you can, then they're not under the same blood that you are. Oh, no. Once saved, always saved. That's a fact. If what you did to get saved, you followed the guidelines of Jesus Christ. You repented and believed in the gospel, what happened at Calvary. You know, the difference between the two, the lost and your salvation or condemnation, is that the saved sinner is filled with the promise, while the unsaved sinner is without hope. without hope. If we look in 1 John, the book of 1 John, John 2, verses 1 and 2, we read, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Verse 2, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Of the whole world. Verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if," a big if in there, "if we keep his commandments." Keep his commandments. What is Jesus saying here? Is he not telling us that he and the Father are one? Huh? He and the Father are one? Do we not understand that once we repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we are no longer our own? We are his. Did you hear that? We are his. This is why the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, indwells us, comes to live inside of us, to convict us of the sins of the flesh. We don't always know that we're sinning, because we're used to a lifestyle that's hard to shake. But that's why we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. If you take the Lord's name in vain, right away, you're probably going to know it anyway, but the Holy Spirit will convict you. Repent. That's the task, the will of the indwelling Holy Spirit, to convict us of the sins of our flesh. With the indwelling of the Spirit, well, we know right from wrong. You see, that's the Spirit's job, as I just alluded to, if you will. To lead us, to show us right from wrong. And because we belong to God and are no longer our own, he directs us in the way we should walk and the way we should talk. It makes me cringe when I hear the words backslidden. If we look into Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter 14, verse 4, the Word of God says, "I will heal their backsliding." Talking about Israel, eh? "I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them." My anger is turned away from God's chosen people. Israel had been in a backslidden state. And how it grieved God that his people were so stubborn and hard-hearted. Nevertheless, he never forsook them. He never forsook them. I want to read a couple of passages here from Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. You can follow along with me if you want. If you have a King James 1611 authorized version Bible, you'll find the scriptures exactly as I'm reading them. And that's the only Bible that's the true word of God. Don't want anybody to tell you differently. Jeremiah 8, verses 4, 5, 6, and 9. Jeremiah 8. This is punishment of sinful Israel. Verse 4. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. Shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Verse 5. Why then is the people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast the seat. They refuse to return. Verse 6. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into the battle. And verse 9, The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? What wisdom is in them? Oh, it's a sad situation if you reject the word of God. Oh, yes. Nevertheless, God is righteous. Have they got that? God is righteous. God is merciful. God knoweth. I like this part. God knoweth the end from the beginning. Yes, he does. That's his foreknowledge. Only God has that foreknowledge. He knows when you will you grow up? How will you behave? He knows if you are going to come to him. He knows that. Don't ask me to explain it, and I don't really have to explain it because I believe in the Word of God, and you should too. Tell me, why is Israel so hated by so many? Because Israel is God's elect. Even when they stubbornly rejected and denied God. Back in those days. Now, if we turn to Romans chapter 11, I'd like to go there for a moment, please. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. These are the words that Paul had written. Okay, Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 11. Verse 11, Paul writes, I want to start down at verse 25, 26, 27, 28, okay? 25, 26, 27, 28. Are you with me? Sorry if I led you a little bit astray there. The verses I want to read go from 25 to 28, okay? Chapter 11, Romans chapter 11. Let us begin. For I would not, brethren, this is what Paul is writing, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Have they got that? You see, God put Israel aside until the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled. Okay, verse 20. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Verse 27. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. They are beloved for the Father's sake. Wow, what powerful words. God's elect. We must be careful not to compare ourselves, Christians as Christians, with God's elect Israel. Who knows what our future would hold if the Jews had not rejected God and He put them aside and gave His attention to the Gentiles, you and me. Would we be gone, lost, without hope? Would we still be grafted in? If God's Word says it, God's Word means it. Therefore, we know why God sent His Son, Jesus. Not only to enlighten and spread the good news, no, but to provide Himself. Have you got that? To provide Himself a propitiation for all mankind. For all mankind. For the Jew first, and then the Gentile. Jesus came for one purpose, not to build a bridge between Jews and Gentiles, but to spread the good news gospel to all the world, that all the world is all who will listen, all who will receive it. But first and foremost, to provide Himself a sacrificial lamb for the sins of the whole world. For the sins of the whole world. Oh my, how is it with you today? How is it? Are you certain? Beyond any doubt whatsoever, are you positive in your heart that you are a child of the King? That you have believed as you should have, and that you have not fallen away from that belief? Although sometimes we do backslide somewhat, but when we do, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He lets us know we're stepping out of line and gives us a little nudge. Get back on the right road. Now, He's not saying if you don't, you're going to lose your salvation. No, you cannot lose your salvation. He's talking to those whose salvation is real. Real. Not counterfeit, not a quickie prayer in some out-of-the-way place where you may be forsaken by God. Like you don't go into a beer house and witness to someone and they say the prayer of salvation and they, the next day they wake up, they'll say, I got saved, didn't I? Yeah, I got saved yesterday down at the bar. No. Use your right mind. Be sober. Be vigilant. For the devil walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Common sense, my friends, common sense. A lot of people will say, what's this repent stuff? As long as I believe in the gospel. Well, you can't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ unless you have turned to Him. And that's what repent means. It doesn't say, well, after you repent and believe in the gospel, then, hey, you're a real winner. You're not going to make any more mistakes because you're letting Jesus be your guide. Well, that's good. That's good. But as long as we're in this flesh, this old flesh, and when I say old, I'm talking about myself mostly. Because it was a long time ago when I wasn't in this old flesh and I was on the wrong road and thinking I was, because I was a Catholic, they told me that I was going to heaven. That's all there was to it. I didn't have to do anything else. Just believe in God. That's all. Because they would take care of the rest of it. That was the biggest lie ever told to me in all my life. You see, I had to come to the end of self. I had to lay down my sins before the cross and say to Almighty God, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner, but I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray that thy Holy Spirit will come in and help me to be strong and to avoid these senseless deeds that I do. I need your help, oh God. Oh, dear God, please. Don't let me fall away. Hold me fast. I believe what Jesus did at Calvary, and if I'd have been the only one, he would have gone there and suffered and bled and died just for me. Now, you don't have to use all the dramatics that I might be exuding here. No. You can go in the quietness of your room. You don't even have to weep if you don't feel like it. I usually end up weeping when I get kind of sloppy in my prayers before God because, well, I feel so close to him. And I'm always begging for something. Help me do this. Help me not to do that, Lord. Please forgive me for the way I behave. Please give me wisdom. That's what I think about the President of the United States, Donald Trump. You know, he's sticking up for Jesus. Hey, and that's a good start, isn't it? But the enemy is greater. They're outside. They're waiting for the opportunities. They're making up lies. They're trying to destroy what God wants. And especially what God wants. So, be vigilant. Be strong in the faith. Pray without ceasing. God loves you and he's not willing that any, not one, should perish. I want to thank you for listening to this sermon today, and I pray you listen in every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock here on the Just Jesus Radio Network. And if you miss it on the radio, you can always go to my website, tillhecomes.net, Battle Site for Christ. It's usually the one that's right down at the bottom of the sermons page. Okay? I want to thank you again, and may God bless you. Amen. Amen.